Good morning.
Morning.
I can see somebody else has been using my mic. Hey, glad to be here. I have just a couple announcements I want to make sure we understand. I did these 2 weeks before we took off. Beginning theology on Wednesday nights, while Awana's going, we're doing beginning theology. So if you want to take that, just show up. I'll have the books there for you. It's a good way to get to know your basic theology and understand. The world is so full of untruths in the Christian world that sometimes it blows my mind. And so this gives you a year of a fall semester and spring semester. We cover most of the subjects, answer whatever questions we can. Advanced theology on Saturday. If you've had beginning theology and now you want to do advanced, that's on Saturday. Beginning Greek at 9:30 to 11:30 on Saturdays, and we have a couple people in there, and I know there's a couple people coming, so this coming Saturday, then they're going to get rolling. And then if I have enough interest from people who can't do Wednesday night, because almost every time we have somebody can't do Wednesday night, we'll try to figure out another night. I just need to know who you are to see if you can fit into a schedule. So did we get the sign-up list out there? Okay, Jamie's kind of the collector of information, and so just see her about that, and then we'll try to figure out another day to do that. All right, we don't have a volunteer. Okay, let's just take a few moments. We're going to pray for an open heart this morning. Got some good proverbs today, I think, that you're going to enjoy. And or go home and commit suicide, one or the other, you know. No, I'm just totally kidding. Okay. And so anyhow, just pray for an open heart this morning, and then I'll be back to pray for prayer requests. Let's pray. Father, I just pray this morning that we'll have an open heart to your word. Lord, help us. We are foolish people, and you're a great God that so loves us. And it's hard for us to even probably comprehend how much you truly love us, but we do know you sent your only son for us, to die for us, so that in our place, so that we might have eternal life. And so, Father, we just ask you to be with us as we be with me as I talk today. For those who have a prayer request, just raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Father, I just pray for all those hands, whatever it may be. We just ask you to hear our cry, which we know you do, but we want to be able to say to you, hear our cry. Whatever it may be, and help us in the way that you know is best for us, because we never do. We always think the easiest way out is the best for us, and we don't know. So we just ask that you deal with each and every prayer request. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this morning I hope I make sense. Debbie and I went on vacation, and we flew in Thursday morning after being on the plane all night. And you know how that is, those comfortable seats. That's one thing good about an airline is comfortable seats, right? And so we didn't sleep, so we're still trying to catch up a little bit. So if I start babbling, just raise your hand, and I'll have to rethink it. I'm just, you know, kind of kidding myself. Anyhow, Debbie and I went on vacation, and we went to Hawaii. And we've been gone 2 weeks, just in case you didn't notice. Okay, and I really appreciate that Bob and Mike could preach. Isn't that great that we have guys who can stand up and do that and take that place? So that gave Deb and I such a relaxed ability. We snorkeled and swam and explored. We even rented a Jeep on the Big Island and Jeeped into different beaches that you only can go on four-wheel drive at, like, to tore Debbie's head off, you know, all the, you know, rock and that kind of thing. But we just absolutely had a good time. And you know, one of the things for Debbie and I don't know if this happens for you on vacation, but we really start talking and thinking about our life and where it's at, because it's kind of like all of a sudden you pop out of life and when you go on vacation. And so we end up talking about church and work and family, and I'm sure you guys do the same thing. You also think about wherever you go, oh, what? Maybe we should move here, or is it only us? Do you do that too? Yeah, and so it's fun to kind of toy around, think, what would it be like to live here? And you know, and so I don't want to live there. Yeah, so anyhow, but vacation takes us out of the routine and gives us this temporary non-reality, right? Non-reality is like the rich or something. You don't have to work for 2 weeks or whatever the vacation is. But both Debbie and I really enjoy that we get to talk in a deeper way without interruptions. And we get to express things that have been on our heart that sometimes in the daily routine you just kind of forget. And then it's so easy on vacation to kind of hit the reset button. And I've been reading some challenging material and doing a lot of pondering in my life. And I know for me, it's been about my core love and commitment to Christ and my commitment to his gospel, his good news for the world. And contemplating whether my calling, my response is working out in my life and in my leadership, and in the ministries I'm involved with, am I able to maximize the ministry? Because it's too easy to get lost in the shuffle of life, isn't it? Yes. And what we want to accomplish and what we get to accomplish is a lot of times two entirely different things. And so I want to bring you into my pondering. So you're on vacation now for, you know, the next 20, 25 minutes or whatever. And so it's easy for me to say I'm committed to Jesus Christ and to his word, because I am committed in my heart and in my head. But the real question I had to ask myself, and we probably all need to ask ourselves, is do all my actions and thoughts show that I have that commitment to Christ? That my heart is totally with God? Or am I wrapped up in this world a little too much? Right? And so if I stand back and look, my measuring stick for me is my actions should reflect and validate what my true commitment is, right? What I do in life should show where my commitment's at. And if I'm not getting things done, my commitment's weak, and so on. Do you ponder those things as well? Think inwardly. Ask those questions. Let's read our Proverbs for today. It's in Proverbs 4, 23 through 27, and I'm going to read the underline, and you read the non-underline. Keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it speaks. Okay, so let's try that again. I've been gone 2 weeks, and you've gotten sloppy. Okay? All right. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look high. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot. Yeah, that's some great verses. You know, I want to look at this from the New English Translation, the NET version, and I'm going to add some things in here, because I want you to feel what I felt in really meditating on these verses. Guard. Now, when it says guard and keep in the New King James, guard, it means to protect something above other things. That's what the word means. And so we're to guard above other things your heart with all vigilance, watchfulness, awareness. For from it are the sources, the outworking, the beginning of the issues in our life. remove. So we see God's telling us here, guard first, then remove. It's a decision we have to make. Remove perverse speech, morally perverted speech and comments from your mouth that don't reflect who we are as children of God, right? Keep devious talk far from your lips. It just means deceitful or untrue lips. Let your eyes look directly or purposefully in front of you, and it means to be very detailed about looking what's in front of you, and let your gaze, and I love your gaze. Now, how many of you have been on the freeway and you see the sign way out there and you can't read it yet, right? And so as it comes, pretty soon you're doing this, right? Kind of squinting to see, can I see if that's the exit I need to take? That's exactly what this word means, that squinted gaze. And so he says, let your eyes look directly or purposefully in front of you, and let your squint for clarity look straight before you. Make the path for your feet level, no bumps or hiccups, so to speak, so that, it means for the purpose that, all your ways may be established, and we could say in righteousness. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn yourself away from evil. Wow, that's a pretty impactful group of verses, isn't it? And it's talking about walking uprightly before God in our commitment. And it comes down to this fact, that we always have a choice to respond to God, because our heart discerns and knows what is right and wrong through the Holy Spirit. Now, when I say that, I know a lot of you will say, well, I don't know whether this is right and wrong. I really think we kind of do. It's just this, maybe not what we want to do or want to happen, whatever it may be. But listen to what Philippians says in 3:15. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. As pursuing, try, will you give me some point? Have this mind. You know, I've been in almost 100% humidity for 2 weeks, and now I came back to the 15 or whatever it is. So Jamie's going to get me a little water here so I can quit coughing. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And the mind is, the context is pursuing Christ. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Wow. That's a pretty heavy verse. God says he's going to make it clear to you. And in our current day, we have the Holy Spirit. In the days of then, not everybody had the Holy Spirit. But in these days now, God has promised and given us the Holy Spirit upon belief. And so God will reveal even this to you. So, like I said, in our current day, we have the Holy Spirit communicating to us, telling us, teaching us. Oh, so much for a table. I want you to hear this in 1 Corinthians 13, because 1 Corinthians 2:13, because it's a little vague in every translation I read, and I cannot figure out why. Because if you take Bob's theology class or a Greek class, it won't be but halfway through the semester, and you can read this verse and understand it. And so Paul says this, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. So who does the Holy Spirit teach? Us, right? Okay. So he says, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing, and it should say communicating spiritual things, not with, but to, two spiritual ones or spiritual people. So let me just read it the way it should be translated. But which the Holy Spirit communicates spiritual things to spiritual people. Are you spiritual people? If you know Christ, you're a spiritual one. There's no question. You may not act it, but you're still a spiritual person. And so he communicates, the Holy Spirit communicates all that we need to know what is sin, what is righteousness, what is that type of thing, his leading. And we have the choice to surrender to God. And people might say to me, and I might try to convince myself, because we all feel this way, at certain times it's impossible to follow through with our spiritual goals. In other words, we say, yeah, I want to be totally committed to Christ, and yet, do you feel totally committed to Christ? No, not really. Too many things come up, and interference comes, and I think it's not just that we get lazy, but I think we even get scared of that pursuit. He says in 26 and 27 in our Proverbs, ponder, contemplate the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Be firm. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. You know, I had this really interesting experience maybe 6-8 weeks ago. I was in that phase of waking up, you know, where you're still asleep, but you're kind of conscious. And I started pondering my steps. I started thinking, man, am I really committed here? Am I doing all these kind of things? And I felt like I was just lagging in certain areas. And so I'm mulling this stuff over in my mind. And all of a sudden I hear this voice says, stop it. And I woke up and I turned to Debbie to say, why did you say that? She was sleeping. And I thought, wow, I thought I heard a real voice say that. And it made total sense to what I was thinking. And God's answer to you and I is simply stop it. Because you and I think we don't have control over these areas, and somehow we're victims of living this life without being able to establish our ways, to watch the path, to remove our foot from evil. And God says, oh no, oh no, you can do it. You can do it. You just look at everybody around you and you measure yourself around everybody around you and you think you can't do it. And God says, just like that voice said to me, stop it. Stop it. We have to surrender those doubts over and over. It's almost like a drug addict, isn't it? Where they quit taking drugs and then they go back and take drugs and then they quit taking drugs and then they go back, you know, and it's this secular movement. And in our lives, in our Christian lives, we have that same kind of secular movement of how committed we're going to be to Christ. I wish we could say we're all in, right?
Right.
Don't we all feel that way?
Yes.
Okay. But unwise choices in our life become a struggle, and we desire to want to control it, right? We have the desire to want to do it. It's really getting down to do it. Because just like my dream, God is telling you and me in a loving manner, stop it. You can do this. Quit making excuses. Quit saying, oh, we're not perfect. All the things that we put there so we don't have to live up to what God's saying. And God is saying we can stop it by guarding our hearts, removing perverse speech, stopping devious talk, keeping our eyes in the right direction, keeping our feet level, pondering our path, and become established in Christ and keeping ourselves away from evil. And we can stop the compromising. So here's the real question. Do we really want to give up that nagging sin or sins and doubts that seem to control us? Do we really want to give them up? You know, sometimes, you know. But do we really want to give those up and really become Christ's servant? You know, I just, while I was in Hawaii, I read a book called The Rebirth of the Church, and the author made this statement that cut me to the quick. And I have it up here, and I want you to really take a hard look at it. We are a servant. That's what God calls us, right? Christ calls us. We are a servant. Now, in the original language, it's called slave, but we don't like the word slave, so we use the word servant because that doesn't seem, that gives us a little independence. Well, there is no independence, okay? We are a slave, which entails our unreserved obedience. Right? We become a slave to Christ. We obey. We are a slave, which entails our unreserved obedience. Slaves do not negotiate their conditions of service. Okay, let's be honest. We do negotiate, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. And a lot of times we negotiate because if we negotiate it well enough, then our life is okay right now. We don't really negotiate. We think we do. We are slaves of the Most High God. And make no mistake about it, we can't renegotiate what God has told you and I to do. 3 weeks ago, we read this verse in Ephesians 4:1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, beg you, to walk worthy of the calling in which you were called. Ephesians 4:1. We are all called. Now, that was 3 weeks ago. I talked about that. And then I asked the question to you, do you all realize you are in the ministry? Okay, now what do you think the response was? But we are. We're all in the ministry. We've all been called to be in the ministry. And the problem is ministry, the word ministry scares us to death. Am I going to be a missionary in Africa if I commit myself? What's going to happen? We are all called to do what He has built us to do here and now in a coordinated manner together as a group, a body of Christ. And this is a local body of the bigger body of Christ. But here's the big problem for you, and I don't know if you're going to agree with me for a second on this. You have been trained from childhood not to do the work of the ministry, but to just watch. Do you know that? And so I'm going to give you a little history of Christianity so you can understand why. I want to prove it to you. In around 50 AD, a council of theologians got together and they wrote a must-believe statement of faith or a must-believe creed called the Nicene Creed. And when they agreed on all that together, they came in strength and they said, if anyone disagrees with this statement of faith, okay, and they violate it, they're thrown from the church, they're excommunicated, and the expectation is they would go to hell for not agreeing with that creed. Okay. So with that, they began to function with sacraments. Now, some of you have Catholic or Luther background, and you hear sacrament, sacrament, sacrament. Okay. And so you have different types of baptism. You have closed Eucharist, which is a communion. You can take communion only if you are part of that church. It's a closed church membership. You have to go through confirmation. You have to confess your sins to a priest, and you have to anoint the sick, or last rites, it's called. And that became known as Christendom. Now, today, Christendom means just Christians, okay? But that's not what it meant back then, and through history up until more recent. It became known as Christendom, and Christendom beliefs were the reason for Crusades. When the Crusades went after, they took their Nicene Creed, and they went after it. People didn't agree. They killed them because they needed to be dead, okay? And so along with that, we have, it was reasons, and they had the right to kill people because they didn't believe what you should believe in Christendom. Until the final break off of the Protestants with Luther and the others, and we had the Reformation period. But much of it's still there today, even in the Protestant churches. In fact, I was kind of shocked because I went to a pastor's thing about 3-4 years ago. And a Lutheran pastor was sitting next to me, and we were eating together, and we were having a presentation. And so he asked me what church I was with, and was I the pastor? And I asked him. And he said, well, how many of the sacraments do you practice? And I said, well, none. I don't believe that sacraments are required. And you have to understand, because I know that may be offensive to some of you from a higher church, Presbyterian up, you know, a Catholic. And by Catholic, I don't just mean Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, all that kind of thing. But sacraments meant it was a special giving of the Holy Spirit in grace, and it gave you a divine life, and dispensed to people who practiced the sacraments. In other words, the sacraments are what saved you. Okay, and part of it that I didn't mention was the penance, where they would have to do certain, whip themselves or crawl on their knees or whatever it may be to pay for their sin, because Christ didn't do enough, I guess. Okay. So don't be offended by my saying I don't believe in the sacraments. I believe in practicing the Lord's Supper and so on and so forth. Okay. But are we saved by sacraments?
No.
No, we're not. We're saved by the faith of Jesus Christ. Huh? So that pastor, immediately when I said no, turned his chair completely around so his back was to me. It wouldn't speak to me the rest of the night. Why? Because I wasn't saved, in his opinion. So that's where we've come from as a church. And but the worst part of Christendom for me is not even those things. It is the belief of clergy and laity. Okay, now some of you may be very familiar with that statement. Some of you may not. I'm clergy, or a priest is clergy. The congregation is the laity. Now, have you heard those terms before? Shake your head yes so I know how many. How many have never heard that? You can shake it yes or no, I don't care. Okay. All right, so that has come into our modern church that we call it the congregation now rather than the laity, but we still have the pastors and so on and so forth. So I'm the clergy, you're the congregation, and so the clergy is supposed to do all the spiritual work, and the laity is to give their money and receive spiritual information from the clergy. Now, why is that a problem? First of all, it doesn't work very well. Okay. It's because it messes up the equality in gifts of the body of Christ. It means, you know, what they would do is they would sit back and they wouldn't do anything. They would just come and they would go. And if you have a Catholic, Roman Catholic background, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I've gone to some Roman Catholic services, and as soon as it's done, within 30 seconds to a minute, there isn't anybody in the room. Why? Because it's not about fellowship. It's about coming, doing the sacraments, and hoping you're still saved, okay? Now, that residual, like I say, is there, and we have the spirit of the clergy laity, that rips you off, and for sure, of the joy of serving, of a spiritual capacity, being able to use your spiritual gifts and ministering to one another. What would the church look like if we all were congregation and there was no clergy or laity? Well, we'd all be ministering to each other, right? Well, we'd have teachers who would teach and so on and so forth, because those are spiritual gifts. And let me just read these spiritual gifts to you, okay? Ephesians 4:11. And he, Christ, himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Now, I'm not going to try to go through and describe all those, because it'll make the morning too long. But he gave these five gifts to the church for what? For the work of the ministry. Who? The congregation, not those five gifts. Those five gifts train you to be able to do the ministry and edifying or educating the body of Christ. And then down in 16, it says, from whom the whole body, according to the effective working by which every part, every person does its share, causes growth to the body for the edifying of itself in love. So in other words, Paul's picture here and God's picture here is that we're all contributing in this body of Christ and serving in whatever capacity we do. Loving on people, encouraging people, teaching people, counseling people, whatever that may be. Is that what we see? Well, we kind of do, don't we? But the problem is, because we have this clergy-laity leftover, it makes you lazy and makes me do all the work. Well, isn't that true? I mean, there's an element of truth to that, and I don't want to do that. And I tried my best not to do that. I even act dumb so I'll get you to do the plumbing or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And so we work together as a group. And I'd love to see this church transform out of Christendom into Christianity, which is that we all minister to each other. And you don't have to have official title. You don't have to do things officially. You talk to people and you love on them. If you're a counselor, you counsel, whatever it may be. And if you don't know what your gift is, turn around and look what you've been doing all along outside of your work. That's probably your spiritual gift for the most part. And maybe you haven't discovered yet. Maybe you're not, haven't grown into that yet. And that's why we offer all these classes to help teach you so you know. But man, I even said this one time in a few sermons back. I was preaching on the body of Christ, and I was so discouraged that I thought, why should I even preach on this? I think I was preaching through Ephesians. And I thought, okay, when I go in, I'm going to see if anybody ministers to me. And so I went in, and by the time I got up to the pulpit, 27 people said something that affected my life. 27. So the body is working. It's just be nice to be aware of it working, right? In our own lives. And you don't have to be a pastor stand up here. Most of you would die 1,000 deaths to have to stand up here and talk, right? I was there. When I started, I was scared to death. And so it isn't built. You don't have to do those type of things. You do what you do. So let me just reposition you to think about this. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, his craftsmanship, his poeo is the Greek word meaning poem. You are his poem, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. That we should walk in them. So let's go back to our subject of living rightly. We have little energy to pursue righteousness because of our heritage, the clergy-laity lie. And so it's real easy for you to come, sit in church, and say, whoa, that was a really good sermon, or boy, that Steve needs to learn how to speak, or whatever you think. And what should we have for lunch? Right? And so a lot of times it produces in us a little energy to really pursue righteousness and have value in life because we've been taught to just go to church and go home. And we've done our deal. Well, we haven't. We haven't at all. It's a 24-hour, seven days a week Christianity. So I think we need to say this. Satan, stop it. Get out of our lives. We want to be fully and completely committed to Jesus Christ as his slave to do what he's built us to do. And you know, when you do what you're built to do, it's pretty easy. It's really hard if you do what you're not built to do. That's why I don't do the plumbing. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Will you think about that and pray about that? It's hard. It's hard because I'm telling you, I fight that as a pastor. How committed do I want to be? Because I want to go out and go on the boat, or I want to do other things, you know, and that kind of thing. And it's like, okay, wait a minute. We all are struggling for the same reason, because there's no clergy and no laity. We're all one congregation. I just happen to be the teacher and the leader. But I struggle like you struggle. And if you've known me for a couple months, you know that. Right? Let's pray. Father, will you please help us in our commitment to you? We are in a world that's so pleasureful, and we look at it and we think, oh, we don't have to suffer pain there. And then we get messed up. Lord, I ask you to replant in our heart our desire to be committed, to minister to other people, to walk with them, encourage them, counsel them, whatever it may be that we do. Lord, help us to do that. While heads are bowed, if you come this morning and you don't have a relationship with God, let me talk to you for a second, and the rest of you, please pray. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and that the wages of that sin is death. But he goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9 says, tells us how we can get it. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friend, if I'm talking to you this morning, probably really is the Holy Spirit. And today you want to make that decision. I'm going to pray a little prayer and you pray along with me, realizing you're going to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, be Lord, the Lord of your life. And the prayer goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and life and be the Lord, the master of my life. I believe you rose from the dead, just as that verse said, because of it, you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today. And may I live for you. I surrender my life to you. My heads are bowed. If you prayed that prayer this morning, you meant it. Will you raise your hand up? Let God know you really made that commitment today and you're going to continue that commitment. Just raise your hand up, put it back down. Anybody this morning? Father, we just thank you so much. We thank you for what your son did. I'm so thrilled, and I think we all are, that your son Jesus Christ started and finished faith. That's what Hebrews says. That we don't have to do sacraments, that we don't have to do all these different things in order to be saved, but simply put our faith in your son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that. And may you be blessed this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.